Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, July the 22nd, 2026. 7:22:26, 18 minutes past the hour, and we are now midweek in what has been a very interesting week for the city of Marion, to say the least. Well, I want to thank all the guests I had on yesterday, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, former 3rd Ward City Councilman and former head of the Finance Chair on City Council, Jason Schauber, and the Auditor of State, Keith Faber. That got a lot of play yesterday, what everybody had to say, especially what Keith Faber had to say. And I thank them a lot for coming on. Do want to mention here in the opening moments of this program that I did have a chance to speak to our fire chief yesterday, Chuck Deem, via telephone. He was in a very positive mood, as Chief Deem always is, and he says he does have plans to retire. It'll happen next year, somewhere around February. He has been with the Marion Fire Department for 30 years. He's been chief for about 9 years, and he just said it was time to go. And he's got a lot of vacation time and things like that saved up. So he's not going to be around the fire station very much at all until February. So I guess he'll take that time until February, and then he'll retire. Paul Glosser will be the acting chief, and then we'll see if he becomes the chief. I would imagine he would, unless something would happen between now and then. But it looks that way, so Paul Glosser will be the acting chief. But Chief Deem wanted to make sure to say to me that he had already made this decision. He had already told people last week, before this declaration of fiscal emergency came in, that he was going to do this. He said he'd been there 30 years. He'd been chief for 9 years. He said this had nothing to do with cutbacks in staffing at the fire department. He said he was sad, a little melancholy, that he would not be there to see the new fire station open whenever that happens. But he's thankful to everybody here in Marion who has always supported him, and it's just time for him to go. So nothing nefarious, nothing. He did not resign. He was not forced to resign. Nothing like that. He's just ready to retire. 30 years is a long time to be in a position like that. And Chief Deem is a very good guy. I was looking at all the posts on social media since I posted that story yesterday, and they're all very positive toward Fire Chief Deem, and he will be our chief, more or less, until February. And that's the story on that. So that's the story on Chief Deem. Phone lines are open this morning. We had a lot of great conversation yesterday, and hopefully the conversation continues this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Of course, the big news stories of the week: Marion placed in fiscal emergency, which essentially is the state coming in to help us out, make sure we're doing the right things. Now, from what I learned yesterday from State Auditor Faber, was that ultimately the people locally will still make the decisions, but the people from the state will try to put them on the right track and help them with what they're doing. So there'll be a commission appointed very shortly by the governor and some other people. We'll be making appointments to that commission, and we'll see how that goes. Jason Schauber told us yesterday he would like to be on that commission, and has let it be known to the right people that he would like to be on that commission. So there's that. That's where we are with fiscal emergency. The flock camera conversation, you can't ignore that. That continued on Monday and brought a standing room only crowd to city council. And you know the thing about that is it goes back to what I've been saying for a long time, which is when the people show up, people take note. Now, I was trying to say this yesterday, and I still feel this to be true. I think for the flock camera people, I think unfortunately, even though that was the big conversation in the room Monday night, I think it was bad timing to have that conversation Monday night, because obviously the big story was the city going into fiscal emergency, because that's a big story. And I also think, and I said this on Monday, I said if people get up on Monday night and they say there was legislation that should have governed these flock cameras back in 2023, we do not need to amend this legislation, we need to take a vote on flock cameras in general, I think that would have gone a lot further than what happened Monday. Because here's just my take on it. We went for about 90 minutes on flock cameras, and everybody, more or less, who got up was saying more or less the same thing. I mean, Channel 4 boiled an hour and a half of flock camera down to about 45 seconds, because more or less everybody was saying the same thing. They were saying it in a different way, but they were saying the same thing. These cameras are here to surveil us. Now, I'm not saying that's not true. I don't know. Chief McDonald has said that's not true. I have not seen evidence that they're surveilling us, but everybody certainly is entitled to their own opinion. But I think the problem was, as people got up and essentially said the same thing over and over and over and over, I did not see a person on that committee, Ralph Smith, Scott Kreider, or Dan Clark, who was agreeing with any of these people. It seemed as if they might be interested in putting some legislation together to put some restrictions on these flock cameras, but the idea of taking them down, I don't think struck a chord with any of those councilmen. And that being said, if you eliminate the three of them from the idea of taking down the flock cameras, I don't think you've got five votes, even if this does come to city council. Because I think you've got Aaron Rollins' vote, I think you've got Thaddeus Smith's vote, I think you've got Nathan Stevenson's vote, but where are your other two votes? I don't think Mrs. Larkin would be in that category after Monday night. I don't think Sean Barr would be in that category. I don't know for sure, but I don't think he would be in that category. I'm not sure where Bill Dichtel is. I don't think he said a whole lot. But even if Bill Dichtel was with the Take Down the Flock Camera group now, that still would not be enough votes. That would only be four votes. Because I believe Scott Kreider, it seems, and I'm not speaking for Mr. Kreider, I have not had a conversation with him, it seems as if he is not for taking down the cameras. He's more for putting legislation in. So that being said, I don't know, unless something happens, that these flock cameras are going to go away. So there's my take on that, and if anybody's got anything to say in regard to that, feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open, and we're always glad to hear from you, the listening audience. Now, let's see. Okay, we did the Chief Deem thing. We know about him now. What's going on there? We talked a little bit about flock cameras here this morning. We've still got the city's fiscal emergency going on, and I believe that's going to be a story for some time now. And I imagine that story will drip for a while, because we're going to hear about what the mayor said to the people at City Hall yesterday. Eventually, all this will come out. This committee will be formed. So this will happen in processions as we go on down the road. It's where we are. Interestingly enough, on Monday night, Ralph Smith voted down decorum. Well, he sent it on to council with a vote, with a recommendation to vote it down. So decorum looks like it's pretty much dead in the water. So I guess we won't have to talk too much about that anymore. Let's see here. You know, we got a message the other day that I never did have time to get to. Maybe I can find that message here. I think it had something to do with the squirrels that that I was talking about. Let's see if we can find that message. I know it was early in the week. I have to go back through the messages here. Okay, here was the message. Came on Monday. I am on Spencer Street, and I have squirrels and sparrows and blue jays in my backyard, and my wind chimes are ringing. I do put out seeds and peanuts every morning. It is 9:32 a.m., and I send this message. You know, this was on a conversation, in regard to a conversation in which I said, rabbits have been coming awful close to me when I go out and walk. It seems like these wild animals do not seem to be as scared of human beings as they used to be. And I'm not really sure why that is. And also, I will tell you something else I've noticed. In the area I walk, there's a big pond in the front. And there were always geese hanging around there. Geese every year. They were there probably at the beginning of spring. I have not seen those geese since then. Does anybody know where the geese have gone in Marion? Because they're certainly not at that pond anymore. And they were there for years and years and years. So if anybody's got any thoughts on any of this, give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. It is 29, no, coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on this Wednesday morning, July the 22nd, 2026. Midway through the week. Well, certainly a lot of big stories. You gotta say that. And, you know, there's been a question of Marion's financial future since, what, last October, last November? So it took 9 months for us to get where we are. And I do have to say, I do feel bad for the mayor, because he is the mayor while this is happening. And that's a tough position to be in. I mean, let's be honest. Would you want to be the mayor of a town that's to be declared in fiscal emergency? That's not a pleasant thing. It's not pleasant to have the state come in. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough. It's a tough situation. And I do have to say, I had a nice exchange with the mayor on Monday night. We had a nice conversation in the lobby outside of city council. So, you know, I imagine he's under a lot of pressure. And that's a tough place to be. And I think, as I have always said, I think he's tried to do what he thinks is right. And I think that's hard, because he's never been a part of legislative government until he became mayor. And it's tough. And it's tough to be in a situation like this. I imagine these are very difficult days for him. I don't know for sure, but I would imagine they are. And by the way, I have invited him on the show, and I do hope he takes me up on that offer. I haven't seen him doing much media in the last few days. I imagine he's pretty busy with everything going on with the state. But I do hope he comes on, because I think it would be interesting to start new here and get a relationship going with the press. and also inform us on what's going on in the city. It's going to be a tough time, and it's going to be a tough time for a lot of council people as well. Okay, 32 coming up on 33 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to any of that? I guess it's just me talking this morning. I always say with the phone calls, it's always feast or famine. You know, it's either a lot of phone calls and they're jamming in one after the another, or it's just me talking for a long period of time. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz. A little chilly this morning, by the way. It says 58 degrees and sunny. Is that right? Is it 58 degrees outside? I know the air quality is better than it has been in the last few days, but 58 degrees, that's certainly very unseasonable weather for the month of July. Do we have the weirdest weather anymore? I'm telling you, the weather goes up, down, sideways, humid, 95 degrees, 58 degrees. No wonder so many people get sick. And by the way, I have heard more cases of people getting sick in the last few days from this smoke from Canada than I think I've ever heard in regard to anything like that in a long time. A lot of people on amoxicillin, so on and so forth. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I just want to remind everybody that, you know, there was a time when Jason Schauber and Ayers Ratliff were on council, and they held the former administration's feet to the fire and this administration's feet to the fire. Jason was holding his own party's feet to the fire, and they were ostracized. They were voted out of office for trying to stop the fuckery. So, you know, let's go back and look at this, people. You know, you had two people on both sides of the aisle trying to keep this administration and former administrations on track, and they were made out to be the bad guys.
Well, that's true. I think that became politics to a certain point. You know what I was thinking about last night? I don't know why this came to my mind. Maybe it's with all the news lately. But you know what? I was looking at the current city council. Now, this is no knock on them because they can't predict this stuff. But when you go down the current city council, Sean Barr has never run in an election opposed. He's always run unopposed. So he's never won an election where he's had to run against somebody. Mrs. Larkin has never won an election where she was opposed. Nathan Stevenson has never won an election, period. Never run an election campaign. Ralph Smith was challenged in a primary, but he's never been challenged in a main election. So he's always been unopposed. Thad Smith has one time, but the last time he ran unopposed. And then you've got Bill Dichtel, who's been appointed, and he's never had to run in an election and win. All of our ward seats, now the at-large people have had to run elections, but all of our wards, all six of them, none of those council people have ever had to run an election and win in the main, ever. Not a single one of them, except Thad Smith one time.
Yep, and they rode the wave. They rode the Republican wave in, and it wasn't about their experience. Wasn't about anything. It was about there was nobody else running. But yet they come at the former administration, they come at former auditors, they come at their own people that were former auditors about their lack of experience, about their lack of ability to do the job. But then they quit their elected jobs, and then they're appointed to new jobs. I mean, the whole thing is just it's a joke, really, because and I'm not against the Republican Party. I vote independent. But in this town, the Republican Party seems to be, for most part, other than a few like Aaron Rollins and Thad Smith, just seems like a bunch of quitters. Seems like they run for office. They tell the people that they're going to stand. signed up for them, and then they quit. And then the party, you know, places who they want in those positions. That's not representing the people.
Well, I think
I encourage everybody to get out and vote. I encourage everybody to get out. And if you're thinking about running, you know, run.
Well, I think the Democratic Party has to take a lot of the burden here as well to say, you know, you didn't put anybody up. You didn't run anybody. So basically, we do have a government that wasn't necessarily chosen by the people because there was no other option.
Because the people didn't run.
Right. Right. You know, I mean, I these people were going to get they were either appointed, Bill Dichtel and Nathan Stevenson, or they've never had to run against anybody, which would be Sean Barr, Mrs. Larkin, and Thad had to run one time against somebody, but last time ran unopposed. So you've got between six wards, six city council people, none of them can say, except Thad, that they've ever run in a contested race in the Maine election. Ralph did run one primary. So I don't know that that is representational government at this particular point. Now, the at-large people did, but the six of them really, really did not, except Thaddeus Smith.
Well, and I have to wonder that, you know, when you're appointed by the party and not elected by the people, where do your loyalties lie? I mean, you know, who are you representing? Who are you trying to please?
I don't know. I think it's very interesting. What's your feeling on the flock camera conversation on Monday night?
The flock camera? I think it's... I keep saying, you know what? You've got the public servants spying on and surveilling the people. You know, if the mayor, if the police chief, if all of them are so all about these cameras, why aren't there cameras in their offices? Why aren't they required to wear body cameras? Why aren't the public servants being surveilled like the people are? I mean, and I'm going to go back again to what I said, you know, at the meeting and yesterday, that they have tools in front of them. They have basic tools in front of them, like common knowledge and confessions. And they don't solve crimes with them. You know, I keep going back to everybody in this town knows who the dope boys are, but the Marion police can't seem to get the dope boys. They go after the addicts. They go after the addicts, and then the addicts have to pay fines and this and that, and it becomes revenue. You know, let's go after the dope boys. Let's get the dope out of this friggin' town.
Well, here was one of the problems that I saw Monday night, and I think I said it at the top of this program, is, you know, we did have an hour and a half of discussion, but more or less everybody was saying pretty much the same thing. And a couple of the things that I heard on Monday, which I thought were very interesting, were when people would say, you know, we've got this much money missing, maybe somebody should put a camera in the auditor's office. Well, right there tells me that they don't really have an understanding of what's going on with city government, because the state auditor, local government, nobody has ever accused anybody of stealing any money. Now, mismanaging money, yes, I think you could say that that was done, but that was done with votes. That was done legally. Was it mismanaged? Probably. But nobody has ever accused anybody of stealing. So the fact that we're still at this point where people think that somebody stole money, well, that's just not factually true, according to the facts. So when somebody says they want to put a camera in the auditor's office, for what? I mean, I guess I don't understand those comments.
Well, I think people form opinions based on sound bites instead of doing any research. They don't try to understand. For me, anything I speak on in any regularity, I try to educate myself just a little bit, and so I don't talk so unintelligently, but, you know, the people today, they hear what they want to hear, they stop listening when they want to stop listening, It gets aggravating, you know. I was just want to say real quickly that, you know, I was impressed with the amount of people that showed up.
Yeah, that's good.
To city council. I know that even Mr. Ralph Smith made the comment that he had received many, many phone calls from people both for and against the flock cameras. I would love to hear the tally of how many were for and against. I know there was a notice out to call your public servant, Danny Clark, and let him know. He seemed to be bigly mad up there today. He seems to get, the other day, and he seems to get really, really, really frustrated when he has to listen to those people that he is supposed to represent. Wow.
Well, it's just, I don't know, honestly, after Monday night, where the votes would be to take down the flock cameras. Now, I certainly think there will be a discussion had and held about putting restrictions in, but it certainly seemed Monday night that there was not a person on that committee, including Scott Kreider, who was suggesting that the cameras come down.
The things that stand out to me is the, you know, nobody to this day can give a solid answer of how many cameras there are. I've heard Ralph Smith say, I think it's this much. I've heard Naomi say she thinks she's figured it out, it's this many. I've not heard the chief actually get up. You know, I watch when these questions come to the floor, and I watch the body language of the mayor and the police chief and other representatives of the police department, and they don't offer any answers to that. You know, I mean, just by nature of, you have to drag every piece of information out of the police department. That's not transparency. It, again, they come up with two incidents are their only poster childs of why flock cameras are a good thing for Marion. They've been here for how many years? 4 or 5 years? I would think they would be able to produce a list on each year of here are the great things that resulted from these flock cameras, but they keep going back to these same two recent cases. That's it. And, you know, I think only a stupid person would think that if they had more, they wouldn't release those. If they had more, they would be up there crowing as loud as they could to say, here are all the great things that have happened because of flock, and it doesn't happen.
Well, and
so the proof is in the pudding.
Well, but here's where I think social media, and in a lot of ways, it's good, because I think it helped fill the room up, but it also is bad in a way, because the politicians who do know the information for the most part can say, what are you talking about? And like I referenced earlier, if you're saying there needs to be a camera in the auditor's office because somebody's stealing money, that's just not true, or there's no evidence of that. And much like the Chief Deem story. Now, we'd all heard the rumblings on Monday that he had resigned and it was because of this financial situation. That's not at all true. He has not resigned, and he's still the chief, and he will be the chief through sometime in February. He'd already made that known last week before this fiscal emergency came in, but people were so eager to tie him to that before the facts came out, you know, people were saying things like that. And I think when people put the cart before the horse, when we finally learn what the facts of the situation are, then we look a little like, well, why did we you know, why did we do that? I guess we just try to make everything fit our narrative. You know,
say that we want a camera in the auditor's office. The only reason we can say that, and the only reasoning behind it, was we must think they're stealing money. That's the only reason we would have a camera on a public servant.
Well, no, but that's the reasoning I heard from a few people on Monday night. That's the clip that made the news.
Well, but I think we have a tendency sometimes is when we report things or we converse about things, is that, you know, sometimes we think in concrete terms and you say, well, you know, nobody speaks about this or nobody asked that question. And sometimes I'll even say, well, Scott, I asked that question and I'm not a nobody. We tend to think because we don't have a big cloud. I mean, just like with the flock camera. It was said that, and you say that, well, everybody got up and they primarily say the same thing. Well, the same thing they said is they don't want them. They don't trust them, and they don't trust the people running them that are in control of them. You have the police policing the police. When you do an audit in the financials, you do your own audit, and then you have an outside company do another audit to check the audit. Right? So you don't have your best friend do it. You don't have your buddy do it. But in Marion, Ohio, just like with Habitat or anything else, they do their own audits, and then they go to a Marion, a local Marion company who does audits, where everybody knows each other and we're all familiar and of family in this town. So, you know, we need to get, just like I keep saying, the police are the only ones giving answers. And we just, I guess we're just going to accept that, well, you know, the police always tell the truth. Well, the police told Naomi Craig for years and years and years there was no evidence whatsoever about the murder of her mother. That's a flat-out lie. That's a blatant lie.
Right, and I don't
think... We can't trust them there. If we can't trust them to come to city council, not just for the money, but for the permission to continue the flock cameras, they've already broken the trust.
But
so we're gonna move forward with them.
Right.
Wow.
But I think we have to give that grace on both sides. Because as you said, I'm not saying the police have always told the truth, but we have evidence to show that they have not always told the truth. And I think on the opposite side, we can't make a blanket statement and say that they are not telling the truth when they're talking about the flock cameras, when we don't have the evidence that they're not telling
Scott,
the truth.
You know why they have drinking driving laws? Not because everybody's been proven guilty, but it's been proven that people drink and drive.
Right.
Okay, so it's been proven time and time and time and time again, and I sentence things to you. I put things all over the internet where police in Ohio, where police chiefs in Ohio are caught regularly breaking the law. We have a police sheriff over in another state who was on 60 days in, who was making $300,000 a year legitimate wages, and just went to prison for 20-something years for stealing millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right. But has that happened to our police force?
Has it happened? Well, okay. So what are... Has our whole citizenry, have all the people of Marion been proven to be dishonest? Why are we being flocked then?
Well, I guess my question is, here's what I'm saying. It did not seem like people were getting up and saying, I have a problem with my license plate being red. The
nope,
majority...
I have no problem with that.
Right, right. And that's what the police are saying is being done.
That's what they're saying.
Okay. So, but do we have evidence they're doing anything else?
Do we have evidence they don't?
Right, we don't.
Do they get up and go out of their way to provide the information to the public? Do you see an affirmative action here from the police department when they come to city council and they know this conversation is going to come up, and they say, you know what, we knew this was coming, and because we have nothing to hide, here's this and this, let's hand all this stuff out to the public, let's have this conversation, here's a printout of every month for the last 5 years of all the great things that flock camera has done. Wouldn't that be a great thing for them to do?
Yeah, I don't think that would be a bad idea, but
Why do you think they don't do it?
I don't know. Somebody would have to ask them, but I do think...
What would be your opinion of why they don't do it?
I think they don't do it because at this particular time, I believe the chief feels that he has invited anybody to come to the police station and take a look at how this flock camera system works and take a look. And I bet there are very few people who have ever taken him up on that offer.
Well, I will prove you wrong on that. So, but as I said,
how many people do you think, as of this morning, because he's been saying this for at least 4 or 5 months, how many people do you think in 4 or 5 months, as of this morning, have taken him up on that offer before everybody showed up on Monday and accused him of everything?
Maybe one or two.
There you go.
Okay. People are lazy. You know what? Just like I keep saying, the Democratic Party, the voters, they're lazy. They're lazy voters. I'm not trying to make them lazy people, but if there's something slightly better to do or slightly more exciting than politics, that's what they do. People get upset when shit happens to them, and when it comes down on it, that's just the human nature of the whole dynamic here. But as I keep saying, that why do we assume... You know, we're not assuming that the public isn't breaking the law. That's why we have the flock cameras. But we're going to give the public servants the benefit of the doubt, though. That seems strange to me, Scott. That seems strange that we're going to surveil the people when we have no proof of the people on a whole, of the masses breaking all these laws, and they can't prove it because they would list them if they could. But yet, on the other side of that, there is fuckery that goes on in public office and from public servants constantly in the state of Ohio, in all the 50 states of the Union, in the United States of America. It goes on. But yet we don't have all of these cameras on the people who are doing all the fuckery.
Right. Well, again, I don't have a problem with people being skeptical of the police department or people being skeptical of the government. But I think the problem is skepticism and accusations without proof are two different things. And that's what I'm saying with the Chief Deem's story. I mean, this is cut and dry. The man is retiring in February. But that certainly was not the rumor on Monday night. That certainly was not what people were saying. This man is still the chief as we sit here this morning. And he did not avoid my phone call yesterday. I mean...
Well, and you know what? That's on Bill Collins. That's on Chuck Deem. They know how rumors flow in this town, and they need to get ahead of stuff then. You know, this isn't rocket science. I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out, you know. I mean, just like when Bill Collins acted all, I mean, he acted about half pissed off and half hacked off that Aaron Rollins released this ahead of time. And come on, man, everybody's been waiting on this. You lied to the public a few weeks ago and said, oh, well, we haven't heard anything from the state yet. That's bullshit, and everybody knows it. And they wonder why people don't trust them. They wonder why we don't trust them with this flock camera thing.
Well, I think
because they look us in the eye and they lie to us. They look us in the eye and they look down their nose and they lie to the people like we're idiots.
Well, I think a question that maybe should be asked, because I believe one thing in that ordinance from 2023 was that council needed to be reported or provided with an annual report about the flock cameras. And I don't think that ever happened. Now, I don't think council can answer why they've never been provided with a report, but I think Jay McDonald should answer that.
I agree. And to me, they have broken the very basic trust that they were given on the very first contract for these flock cameras. So why did we move forward? Who authorized that? Who signed that? You know, why didn't it stop? I mean, what's the point of city council, and what is the point of city council having oversight if the administration is just going to strip their authority and say, you know, we came to you and talked to you about the money thing, but, you know, we don't need your authority. And obviously they don't need the authority, right? Because we got them.
Well, you know, I'd be interested to know how many people are interested on city council, because they are the legislators that are eventually going to make this decision. How many people are interested in taking these cameras now? Because as I see it, I don't see five. And if you don't have five, this is kind of a moot point. I mean, we can have endless conversations about it at city council for 2 hours, but do you think Ralph Smith or Scott Kreider or Dan Clark's mind was changed at all on Monday night by that hour and a half conversation?
I think Scott Kreider is going to vote to get rid of him. I think Bill Dichtel's going to vote to get rid of him.
Well, it didn't seem as if Kreider felt that way Monday night. Now, he'll have to speak for himself.
This is my opinion. I think he's just trying to play the middle ground. I think that the city council came on and were sworn in, and originally they were like, we're here to help this administration with their agenda. I think there are several members of this council that are finding out that this administration isn't always truthful with them, that they trusted the words that they were told. They trusted the things that were and the issues that were explained to them, and they're finding out that they're not always trustworthy.
Well, here's
so
my
I'm
question.
I would encourage Ralph Smith to continue to stand on his own on his own feet. I respect him making his rules Monday. I don't respect that he broke his own rules twice. You know, he's asking questions of people and then not giving them a chance to respond to the questions. He said we were going to go till 8:30, and then he cut it off 2 minutes short. I mean, 2 minutes. Come on. You know, Ralph, and his words were, well, I guess I changed my mind. See, that's the crap that builds distrust. That's the crap that we keep saying, and the whole decorum issue is, you know, you make your rules, and then you break your own damn rules. So
well,
that's where, let's get to where everybody's following the same rules and the same, is on the same page with everything and holding each other to the same standard. You know, where are the people that are holding Twyla Lang's feet to the fire like she held Miranda's?
I don't know.
I mean, I was under the impression that Twyla Lang was the Elon Musk of Marion, Ohio, and was going to come in and doge the whole auditor's office and going to show us where all of this waste, abuse, and fraud is, and we were going to get checks back from her. But you don't hear a thing from her other than her hissing at Thad Smith about, you don't get anything, you get da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, we got to go to break, but I think these are all valid points. I mean,
Hey,
thank you for calling.
Have a great one.
We'll be back right after this.
All the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get